Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
The other thing we were talking about with the 49ers earlier is whether or not yesterday's game actually ticked you off. And I wonder about this. The idea being, and Grandy and Lucas were kind of behind this, in the feeling that if this is still who you are, if you still have that in your holster, why didn't you use it? And I think it's a fair feeling. I think it's a fair comment to make, for sure. But I also think when it's the NFL, it's hard for us. It's kind of what I meant earlier when I said it's hard for us to not look at these teams as one entity and expect them to look the same every week. It doesn't work that way.
Especially in the NFL.
I know you'll go, it does for the Lions and the Chiefs. Well, yes and no. I mean, both of those teams, look, they're obviously, we knew they were good. We knew they were good going in. They've dealt with injuries as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've dealt with those kind of like gut punch things that the 49ers really have.
Well, Aiden Hutchinson was a big one for Detroit.
Sure.
But not the emotional.
The emotional stuff.
You're talking about.
The Charvarius Ward, the Trent Williams, and
the Ricky Pearsall.
And the Ricky Pearsall. Yeah. And then even the, like, I know Hutchinson's out for the year, but like the McCaffrey situation ended up, I think, being a real net negative because it wasn't just a top player being hurt. It was a top player being hurt with like a weekly update, confusion, mystery, followed by return, and then pretty quickly, as soon as he looked at like himself again, yeah, he was gone again.
One quarter like of him looking like himself.
Totally emotionally just whack you below the knees kind of a thing. And so
it's been an uneven year with the Brandon Ayuk as well.
Totally.
You know, the hold in.
You can argue that the Niners did not handle that well, and that's fair. But I, you know, the Chiefs, I don't think in one side of your mouth you can say, boy, they should have lost five of those games. And then on the other side, this idea, well, the Chiefs are just amazing, so they make the winning plays in the end. Some of those are true.
Right.
Some of those games, that's true. Some of those games, you have literally had the other team just
spit up on themselves.
Absolutely stand on their other foot in the final minute of the game.
Yeah.
And then there's just breaks, like what happened last night. A third string kicker, yep, totally shanks one. And if it was one more inch to the left, you lose.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Exactly.
That's the way their year's going.
And they are 11th in the NFL in point differential. Plus minus point differential. They're 11th.
They broke a record, actually. They have the lowest point differential in the history of the league for anybody who has had their record.
Any team that is, 12-1?
Correct. Which, obviously, there's not many of them. But they are only, what, plus 54?
56.
56.
They're third in their own division in point differential.
That's
Denver and the Chargers are both better. And you go across the AFC, and the Ravens and Steelers are both better. Buffalo is way better. Philadelphia and Washington and Detroit and Minnesota and Green Bay, they're all better in point differential, which speaks to what you're talking about. Every year, it's different. So that's where the 49ers, three games that they could have had, three games they should have had, and we'd all be looking at this year completely differently.
I can add on to your stat really quick. So Kansas City, the worst point differential for 12-1 teams, and it's not even close. They're plus 56. The next worst point differential for a 12-1 team, plus 89.
Damn.
Not even close.
Damn. I said it last night. Yeah, who was
that? The 1976 Oakland Raiders.
Holy crap. Going all the way back to a completely different era of football where not as many points were scored.
Right.
That's what's crazy. And I said it last night, and this will sound like some sort of sour grapes. The Kansas City Chiefs are having the most annoying season I've ever watched any pro sports team have, unless you're in their fan base. If you're in your fan base, you think this is the funniest thing of all time. The rest of us are absolutely like we're at the end of our rope. People blaming the refs, blocking field goals, kicking field goals off of bars, having the Raiders just not send their field goal unit onto the field, like on and on and on and on. They've just had the most annoying season of all time. But that'll be fine if they just somebody goes in there and wins in January.
Right. If I gave you Kansas City or the field to win the AFC,
field.
You'd take the field.
Field.
It's not, yeah. I don't think that's a hard one. I don't think that.
And I'm probably wrong because it's now because of what Buffalo did yesterday. It's gonna go through Arrowhead.
Yeah, they have a 2-game lead,
and that's hard.
Yeah,
well, a game and a half lead because Buffalo
beat
them. Have the tiebreaker,
right? Yeah. But you also have Pittsburgh in there at 10-3, and I just look at the AFC and there's some tough outs in there for anybody.
Let's hear from Kyle Shanahan. Okay, Kyle talks on Mondays. There's the injury update on everything and perspective on what happened the day before. Here's Kyle Shanahan with his Monday conference.
All right, guys, injuries from the game. Ben Bartsch ended up having a high ankle sprain. Most likely will go on IR later this week. Isaac Grendel, foot sprain. We'll evaluate him over the next few days, see if he's got a shot. D. Winters, ankle day-to-day. And Malik Mustafa, chest, shoulder. He's day-to-day also. That's it.
Kyle, is the plan still to have Dre Greenlaw be able to play on Thursday night?
There's a chance to. We'll see. You know, I haven't talked to him yet, so we'll see when he gets in here tomorrow how he's feeling, how practice goes Tuesday and Wednesday, and make our decision then.
Kyle, do you have updates on Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, the other guys?
Yeah, Nick Bosa still in the same situation. We'll evaluate him as this week goes. Trent, no different. Aaron Banks cleared the protocol, so he should be good to go. And Flanagan Fouts, he's also still day to day with his knee.
After looking at the film, how did you feel Talanoa Funga did out there with Malik Mustafa?
I thought he did a real good job. Loved having Huff back. Even the first play of the game for him to get in on that tackle, his communication, everything, just helping the defense get lined up and stuff is extremely good. And it's a real good first game for him.
Kyle, what went into that decision? How difficult was it to go with Malik as a starter over Jair Brown?
Just how Malik's been playing. You know, I think he's been playing at a high level. He's been one of the better players on our defense, I think, here over the last month or so. So it's nothing against Tig. We still want Tig to be out there. But when we had to make a decision, we kept Mustafa out there.
Do you feel like Jair Brown's production on the field or play on the field is maybe, I know he played really well last year. Is it up to that standard, or is it a little bit less?
No, I think it's the same as last year. I think Tig's playing like a good starting safety. You know, Huff's, you know, been our guy there and has done some big things when he's been healthy, as everyone knows with Huff. And Huff had a great week of practice, and we wanted to get him on the field, and we had to choose one guy to come off. So we felt Mustafa had earned that, you know, over this play the last month to stay out there, and we're good with our decision.
Kyle, obviously Brock is fine. I mean, he talked about that kind of strange hit he took at the end of the game. He went back in. So there's no problem with him at all?
Yeah, no problem at all. I mean, you talked that way, you know, play after it. He seemed fine, but you never know until the next day. And the trainer's talking to him and stuff. He felt good, and no lingering issues from that play.
Caleb Williams quite a bit. What did you see from the defensive line in their production? It seemed like they were performing pretty well.
I just loved how they rushed as a group, gave them very few exit windows. You know, I thought we had really good coverage, which took away the number one most of the time, number two a lot of the time, and whenever he had to get to number three, our D-line was there. So I just think collectively and individually they had a really good game.
Well, it seems like Patrick Taylor might be forced to start. Obviously, you didn't necessarily view him, I'm sure, in a starting role, but you know how this goes. What attracted you guys to him in the offseason and led you to acquire him?
We look for guys who have the ability to make your team. And in order to have the ability to make your team, you got to have the running skills that we like, to where we feel if your opportunity ever comes that you're going to be a tough runner who hits the right holes and fights for yards. And also, if you can't make one of those top two positions, how well you can help on special teams. So he had done both of those things in his career at Green Bay, and he's been doing them for us since he got here. And, you know, if Isaac can't go, it'll be his opportunity. And I think as you guys saw him run yesterday, or as we did earlier in the year versus Seattle, he's a solid good back.
Isaac, after the game, didn't have a boot on. It seemed like he was putting his shoes on like there was no problem. But sometimes, I guess, the next morning is more difficult. Is he like 50-50, you think, or do you have any idea for Thursday?
The only ideas I have is what I told you guys. I mean, he's got an ankle sprain and definitely couldn't go today. You know, so we'll see if he can go on Thursday, but definitely can't go today. It's a quick turnaround, so we got to evaluate him hard each day. I'll be surprised if he does much tomorrow, but hopefully Thursday will be enough time for him.
And Kyle, with Juwan Jennings, what strikes you most about his progression at split end, and what have been some of the coaching points that go into that?
I mean, just lining up in some different spots, and, you know, he still says it's different verbiage and everything. You know, he's listened to certain words and stuff that tell him to do things and where to line up and everything for his whole time here. And then when you move to a position he hasn't ever played before, it's just completely different verbiage and stuff on how to get him lined up, some of the spots in the field he's at. But, you know, Juwan just, he does it like he does everything. I mean, Juwan goes as hard as he can in every single situation. It doesn't matter whether it's the ball's in his hands, he's running around or he's blocking. Doesn't matter whether it's a deep throw, an underneath throw in practice or in games. Juwan is always just going 100 miles an hour and playing as physical as he can.
In this compacted time frame, have you already put the Bears game to bed with the players? Have they seen everything and you've gone over it with them?
No, we don't ever address that on a Thursday night game. Players do all rehab and stuff today. The coaches come in, and we put it to bed as coaches to correct our mistakes and everything, but we do it a lot faster than we normally do because right now it's, in our mind, it's already Tuesday afternoon as coaches, and in a few hours it's got to be Wednesday afternoon because you got to get into the third downs and nickel and everything. And, you know, so we have everything ready for the guys tomorrow. It's kind of a crammed week and kind of gotten used to it over the years on these Thursday night games. It's a tough 4 days, but it can lead to a really fun 3 days if you handle your business right.
What was
Kyle,
your sense
George mentioned last night that it had been some time since you had players speak at the team meeting on Saturday night, but that you had asked Demo and Brock to speak. Kind of what went into that decision, and why did you think it was important?
I mean, just trying to change it up. Sometimes I'll have somebody speak differently and just to switch up the routine a little bit. But, I mean, when you ask guys to speak, you want to make sure it's guys that people truly respect, and they respect how they play and how they carry themselves and how important the job is to them. And those are two guys and we got a number of guys like that on our team, but those two guys, I just know how much our team respects them on and off the field.
What was your sense last week watching the new guy, Abanacanda, practice just as far as, you know, how quickly he would be able to get into the mix if you needed a third running back?
I mean, he's meeting with Bobby and everybody extra. He's getting his reps on the field. We script it all so it comes along out there, but that's more in the meeting room and everything, just being able to line up and do everything we ask. And, you know, his opportunity is getting closer, especially Isaac and him banged up. So you always got to have three guys in the building in case situations like this happen. And hopefully it doesn't have to come to that, but if it does, we expect him to be ready.
Kyle, how do you feel about Thursday Night Football? It's arguably the biggest game to date when we're talking about the 49ers playing the Rams for NFC playoff season. You're having to do it on a 72-hour turnaround. When I asked you, I don't think I feel sorry for you or Sean McVay, but I do feel for like Greenlaw on the other side of Cooper McCool and Cooper Cup. What are your thoughts on TNA?
I mean, I think there's good things and negative things to it. I think that's why the players all kind of like it. It's also when you're hurting from the Sunday game. Sometimes it's why guys can't go on the Thursday game where they could go on Sunday. It just kind of depends on how the day went before and how they're going. But I think when you are feeling good and you're able to pull it off, I do think the guys really appreciate the 3-day bye week. You don't get many breaks in this league. You only getting one bye week, and one bye week in 17 weeks isn't enough. So I think sometimes it's crucial to have these Thursday night games because it is great for the mental and for the health physically for guys to get away for these 3 days. But it is always such a huge challenge when guys are banged up that they're just not ready to go on 4 days rest where they could be on seven. So it's got its pluses and minuses to it.
Now, you said, I think I'm representing this correctly, but you said last night, this team is filled with gritty guys, and a lot of those guys are your best leaders, but you felt like sometimes that grit or whatever hasn't been there at the end of games. You've been doing this a long time. All teams are different, dynamics are different, but can you put your finger on maybe what has been missing or why that has been?
There isn't a one thing to say. It comes down to making the plays and getting it done when you are in those situations. And, you know, I could say you're not in those situations every single week. You know, we were versus Tampa Bay and we got it done. So I can say that was a real gritty win, and we played with some grit there at the end. But, I mean, that's just trying to put a word on the situation. It's how hard these games are to come by at the end, and teams that can pull those off consistently usually are the teams that are in the playoffs. And when we have been in those situations, we haven't pulled many of them off this year. You know, I always keep going back to those three games we lost. And, you know, Tampa was the opposite. We were able to get that one done. But usually most teams are going to be in a lot of those games, and you got to win more than you lose. And it hadn't been that case for us, and we wanted to make sure that coming into this game, we knew our backs were against the wall, and we thought it was going to be an opportunity to come out and show that we can do that and finish it no matter what happens. And I think we came out so well at the beginning, and we continued that you know, we were able to be a little bit more comfortable there at the end, which is always more fun. But we were prepared for any type of game, and we planned on winning that any way it would go. All right, guys, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Kyle.
Yep.
There goes Kyle Shanahan. He's all done for the day. And the Isaac Guerrero update is interesting. He said obviously he was not ready to go today. He said he'd be surprised if he's ready to go tomorrow. And then after that, it's what can you do on Wednesday to sort of prove your readiness for Thursday? This thing comes so damn fast. So he also said with regard to Abanaconda, quote, his opportunity is on its way. And so I don't know exactly what that means. If he would be up to speed enough to start in place of Guerrero, or if he would just tuck into the room behind Patrick Taylor and Keyshawn Vaughn, I don't know exactly how this is going to look. But it's unbelievable what has happened to the 49er backfield this year. I mean, people don't even remember the name Eli Mitchell, and that happened all the way back preseason. McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, on down the line.
Yeah, Guerrero now.
Don't forget that Guerrero, remember, I mean, we went out to camp. He got hurt like 5 minutes after camp started.
Yeah.
And missed the majority of camp. So I know it's been a year where people really want to take shots at Kyle Shanahan's play calling. I'd like to bring up something that I haven't heard all year. This is another brick on the wall for the Shanahan run game. Like, Jordan Mason is still one of the top 15 rushers in the NFL. And he's barely played in the last month and a half. So we are again, then you watch what Guerrero does yesterday. And we are again having another year where, again, I'm not saying McCaffrey is replaceable, but you're getting production out of the backfield from him, who, he, how.
Yeah, them.
Every single year. It is another one of those years.
Yeah, it's going to be that way for the most part because Shanahan loves to run the ball. You run it a lot, and when you run the football that much, guys are going to get dinged up. Guys are going to get hurt, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, you look at now and Keyshawn Vaughn and Patrick Taylor, it's next man up. Abanaconda, as you have mentioned before, maybe he gets into the box score as well. But I'm also concerned about the offensive line, whether or not Trent will be back. Ben Bartsch likely going on IR, so you're going to have...
But Banks is cleared and will be back.
Right.
So he slides right back into the...
A little bit of a shuffle.
Yeah, the spot.
And, you know, it's been the interior offensive line that's been a problem for the most part all year long. So, you know, Bosa's a big one. If he can go, that changes my outlook a little bit on the game. And Trent, I mean, how do you put a timetable on that? Mm. You know, you just can't. Because it's not only the personal tragedy, losing not one but two babies, but also he's got an ankle. So it's not like he's 100% healthy, and when his emotions and his feelings get better, he can play. He's dealing with an injury as well.
What a year. But at the same time, I also understand where people are coming from when, and I think this is sort of the core of what Grandy and Lucas were getting at earlier in talking about, boy, if you guys had that pitch in your holster, why haven't you been throwing it? There was one thing that Kyle Shanahan said that I get why it might shoot something up your spine. And 888-957-9570, if you want to react to this. But Kyle said, we knew our backs were up against the wall in this one. And I totally get it if a fan goes, dude, you just felt that yesterday?
Right.
That's the first time you felt like your back was up against the wall? I don't know. And again, feeling something and thinking something is very different than going out and executing on a football field. But I remember us talking about it. I did not feel like they could lose the game against Seattle. That was not a losable game to me. And until I'm proven wrong, I will stick by that. Because, boy, would this thing feel different. Like, that game alone, that drive by Geno Smith is literally the only thing stopping the Niners from being in first place right now. Think about that.
Well, that and the Ram game and the Arizona game.
No, but if Geno Smith, if they stop him on that drive, they are 7-6, and so are the Seahawks, and the Niners have the tiebreaker over them. They would be sitting there at least in a three-way tie, along with the Rams, who I grant you would right now have, I guess, the breaker over the Niners, but it'd be three-way, which changes everything.
Yep.
Like that, they couldn't do that. They could not do that, and they did it. And I think it's fair to at least, who knows, maybe they did feel that way and they just didn't play well. But if George Kittle's talking about we finally showed urgency, if Kyle Shanahan's saying, our backs were up against the wall, I'm sitting here going, dude, that was already the case. That was already the case when Seattle visited Levi's Stadium. And if in some way you guys weren't collectively feeling that, then that is a demerit. If you will.
No doubt.
At least for that football game, to me.
Well, and it was more than just the defense, and I'm remembering the game right now. You had to punt, and O'Donnell punts it into the end zone, 42-yard punt, and a 22-yard net. So in a time where you're punting from the 42, maybe you can down it inside the 5 or inside the 10, and you can put Seattle in a tough spot. And then it was a lot of the same from Nick Sorensen's defense, playing milquetoast, not bringing extra pressure, and allowing Seattle to go for 11, 5, 8, 7. Jackson Smith Njigba is the name that I'm remembering from that drive.
He's a good player, man.
Yeah.
He is a really good player. And Lovely Christie, actually, who has DK Metcalf on her fantasy team, asked me yesterday, hey, what the hell's going on with DK? He's always got a Q next to his name, and they don't throw the ball to him. I said, yeah, I think they like this Jackson Smith and Njigba guy. He's kind of taken over.
Yeah.
He's him. He's him.
Yeah, and they are a weird team where...
They're a very weird team.
You keep waiting for them to kind of regress to the mean fall back to earth, and they just don't.
Where's the other shoe going to drop?
Right.
But they've won 4 games in a row, and nobody thinks they're very good. It's odd.
Well, two of their last 3 wins were against Arizona.
Yep.
Which... You know, yesterday was the one where you figured it'd be a get-back game for Arizona, and then Calamari with a terrible interception in the second quarter. A
couple of them.
You know, next thing you know, Seattle's just dominating that game again.
Well, and part of their 4-game win streak was also the win here, and then the other week they played the Jets. And by the way, we're down by double digits before rallying back to win that football game. But Seattle gets their comeuppance unless they're real. Like, they're going to have the opportunity to prove themselves. The next 2 weeks, they host Green Bay and Minnesota. Let's see what we're talking about after that. And, of course, none of it matters if the Niners don't play well on Thursday. It's Willard and Dibs taking your phone calls, 888-957-9570. How about Tom and San Mateo? Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, awesome, man. You know, heading home from work. I got the day off tomorrow, so, you know, just thought I'd give you guys a ring. First time I'm calling. I just wanted to talk about Kittle, man. I mean, we saw how effective the guy is when we actually try to get him the ball. And I know you guys have been talking about, you know, how he had talked about, you know, only seeing a couple routes on the Bills game.
Yep.
And we all know how that turned out. But it's just mind-blowing. I don't understand how you have a guy like Kittle who is literally, a top-tier tight end in the league, one of the best that we've seen as Niner fans, and we don't get the guy the ball on a regular basis. I mean, we have so many situations where we need 5-10 yards for a first down, and throw the guy a slant up the middle, and nobody's covering him. He gets the ball every time. I just don't understand the fact that, you know, Shanahan is just not utilizing him the way that he should be.
You know what? Let's dive into that for a second. Tom, thank you for the first phone call. We really, really appreciate
it. Enjoy your day off, too,
yeah,
Tom.
Thank you for listening. All right. Let's play with this for a second. George Kittle, now, he's missed 2 games. Keep this in mind. He's missed 2 games. George Kittle has 67 targets so far this year. play that out, let's see, in 11 games played. Can we do the quick math?
That's six.
Right, about six. About six. So if there's four more games, we can assume about 24 more targets. Is that accurate?
Yep.
All right. If that happens, then George Kittle will finish the year with 91 targets in 15 games. Do you know what he had last year?
In 16 games?
In 16 games. Again, if we play the math out with how they're utilizing or attempting to utilize George Kittle right now, he will have 91 targets in 15 games. Last year, he played 16 games. 90 targets.
Yeah.
Last year, he had 1,020 yards. Very good for a tight end.
Yep.
This year, he has 800 yards. 800 yards.
80 per game.
In 11 games.
Give him another 320. That's 1,100 yards.
Which, oh, by the way, would be his second best season ever in a Hall of Fame career.
I have this one for you, too, Mark.
Go.
Targets, he is 53rd in the NFL among all pass catchers.
Among all, how about among tight ends?
Just first, 53rd
okay.
among all pass catchers. Touchdowns, he is tied for fourth. So how are we using him? You're using him the right way. You're using him when you need points. And, you know, if I want to just do it among targets among tight ends, there are tight ends who get more targets than he does, but my greater point is when they do use him, they use him to great efficiency and great effectiveness.
Are there tight ends that get a lot more targets? Because I would guess Kelsey, but he's had a weird year.
David Njoku.
Njoku has more targets than Kittle?
87 targets, yep.
Okay, how many games?
Only 10.
Oh, wow. That's impressive. Okay.
Yeah. Cade Otton.
Yeah.
84 targets.
Right.
Have a good year.
Part of that came because all of Tampa's receivers decided to depart the premises.
True.
But yes, okay.
And they're not listed by position, so I'm just kind of eyeballing.
Yeah.
But, and Brock Bowers, of course.
Brock Bowers.
Yeah. 118 targets.
All right. So
Travis Kelce and Trey McBride as well.
Thank you. I was just kind of scanning the list.
Listen, again,
thank you, Grandy.
I'm not, I don't want to sound like I'm,
thanks.
I'm not dismissing the point. George Kittle has been probably their offensive MVP this year. It's either Jennings or Kittle. They've been the offensive MVPs. There's no two ways about it. So I get that. Do you want to utilize him more? Hell, I'd love for that. Throw the ball to him on every play. It seems to work. But again, the two points I'll make is, number one, the idea of utilizing an individual in the NFL, it's not like calling a stolen base. It's not just like, okay, here we go, ready. We're gonna throw the ball to George. Ready, break.
Or like a clear out in the NBA.
Yeah, like it's different. It has to go through progressions. It has to work. The defense, because Kittle is so good, they focus a lot on holding him back. And when the offensive line has its struggles, Kittle is asked to block more. All of these things I think matter and are fair. But the other thing I'd say is I think they are using him maybe a little bit more than it feels like they're using him.
Yeah.
They're using him as much as they always do.
Yeah, which is, what, about six targets a game? Six or seven?
Yeah, he only had one year where he just blasted through all of this in terms of targets. And it's going back 6 years ago to 2018 in what it was his incredible record-breaking year where he had 1,377 yards. And he had 136 targets. Other than that, he's only gone over 100 targets one other time in his career. And by the way, he's got more touchdowns this year than he had the year that he had 1,377 yards. So I get it. I love him, too. He's been phenomenal. I can't believe he's still this effective. He hasn't lost a step. But they are. They are. They're throwing to him a lot.
Right. And I think also if you look at what Shanahan and the offense normally does with targets, it's a balance. No matter who it is, even with McCaffrey when they had everybody, McCaffrey and Kittle and Debo, they all get equal targets for the most part because that's the way Shanahan likes to run the offense.
Next up is Frenchie in Fremont. Hi, Frenchie. Thank you for the call.
Thank you guys for taking my call. Yeah, just something caught my ear like Kyle said. I just kind of wanted to give you guys his quick opinion on it. He said that, you know, one bye is just not enough for 17 weeks. And I'm wondering, like, I know the league eventually will want to move to probably 18 weeks. Do you think they would add a second bye just to kind of, I mean, I don't know if it's me, but just to kind of mitigate some of these injuries? It seems like since they've gone to 17 games, there's been a ton of more injuries.
The answer is yes, they would add a second bye, and they would start the season a week earlier, and you would end it on President's Day weekend, which is what we all really want anyway.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
When I did Arena League football, they had an 18-game schedule, and there were two byes. So it was 18 games over 20 weeks, and thank you. It actually gave players a better chance to come back from injury, as weird as that sounds. So yeah,
it doesn't sound weird at all.
You get hurt.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, think about like Dre Greenlaw, for example.
I mean, the league will use that to their advantage, I think, when they're trying to pitch this. Because remember when it was the 17th game? It was like, oh, it's too much. It's too physical. Well, you go to an 18th game, but you add an extra bye. I'd argue it's almost like it's at minimum an even Steven deal. But you could argue that that's even safer. 18 games and two byes.
That's so funny.
Versus 17 games and one bye, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you sound like an NFL exec when you use the phrase even safer.
That's what they're going to,
hilarious.
That's what they're going to say.
Yeah?
Put it this way. That is better for the body. That would be easier on the body, 18 games but two byes versus 17 games and one.
It's debatable. So you're asking me to go out and have one more full game of car crashes.
Yes.
But I get an extra week.
But a whole week off, too.
Yeah.
Our jobs are different. You'd all make that trade. You'd all make that trade. We'll give you a whole nother week off if you work harder for one extra week.
Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, God. Would you? So, in other words,
I was thinking of you and I.
Would you do an 8-hour show?
Well,
yeah. For 5 days a week, if they said, and you get the next week off.
Yeah, probably not.
Hell yeah!
I was actually thinking of it the other way, where...
Hell yes, I would do that!
We would do a 5-hour show 4 days a week, and then you'd get Friday off.
5-hour show, Oh, well, okay.
That, to me, would be more palatable.
I mean, your voice only lasts 3.5 hours, so you wouldn't do it.
I'm actually bouncing back here at the 5 o'clock
you
hour.
You actually are. You're doing better than I thought you were going to be doing.
I would agree.
There have been some conversations in the back room about you.
I saw you go back there.
Yeah.
I saw you go back there.
No, conversations.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm multiple.
At high levels, too.
Yeah.
We're making
if
phone calls.
If it's you, Grandy, and Lucas, that's not a high level.
Easy, Narc Willard.
Unless you guys are smoking weed, there's nothing high about that level.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I got material still.
It did. There have been moments where I'm like, it's going, but then not gone.
How high are you? Right?
Yeah. I'm high, bro. Not high enough.
Hanging in there.
You are. Hang in there, big guy.
There'll be brighter days ahead.
Better voice days ahead.
Yeah, I hope so. On Friday, I said to my wife, I said, this may be it. I may never be able to speak again. And she turned to me and she said, shut up. I said, maybe I can go be a traffic cop and just blow the whistle and tweet, tweet, tweet.
Blow the whistle.
Point at people.
Yeah, you could do that.
Friday was bad.
Thursday was bad.
Friday was way worse.
Of course. Because you grinded it to a halt on Thursday.
Yeah, boy.
I know what happens. You get a night's sleep and you wake up and you sound like a squeaky set of brakes.
Dude.
Yeah.
Daggers in my throat.
I've been there. And there have been those days where you're like, I don't think I'm ever going to get my voice back again.
It's over.
Unfortunately for all of you, I did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 888-957-9570. That's the number.
Give the number.
So there's that. And then, of course, there's the Debo tweets, which not a big deal, but I just think that this is silly, and I'm going to admit something that especially after what has happened with Brandon Ayuk earlier this offseason, I just don't want to hear this. I don't want, you know what I mean? You got the whole Eagles locker room on a 9-game winning streak. They're talking about A.J. Brown. We spent the entire offseason, and by the way, we know this. I'm going to share this with the audience. We wore you the bleep out. We wore ourselves the bleep out with Brandon Ayuk in the offseason. And for those of you that, for example, want to know, why, how come you don't have the same energy for Trent Williams?
Same energy.
How come you don't have the same energy for Nick Bosa? Because they didn't do what Brandon did. They didn't go on TikTok. They didn't start summoning other quarterbacks from other teams. They didn't make videos at Levi's Stadium screaming, open the damn door. They didn't put stuff on social media 2 days after the Super Bowl. They didn't do any of that. I have no problem with negotiation, power plays, getting every dollar you can in the NFL. I got no problem with that. But this has been a crappy year for the wide receiver position, especially here in San Francisco. But this money has lost its damn mind as far as this position is concerned. And it started a couple of years ago. It's completely drunk now. $35 million for Justin Jefferson. And you're
well, he's worth it.
He's worth it. Again, he's worth it, except, boy, they're almost getting the exact same production out of Jordan Addison. Then you've got what? CeeDee Lamb making $32 million. How we doing? Amon-Ra makes $30
million.
Yeah. And I'd argue that they're using him less than they used to. But he's fantastic. But we can bounce around on this. Tyreek and Waddle were completely pointless when the quarterback went out.
Yep.
Jamar Chase took his team on a no-reason ride because it wasn't even extension time yet.
Leads football in reception touchdowns.
Fine, but got nothing out of the journey he took his team on, and his team is 4-8. So
it's not his fault. He's a monster. It's their defense.
It's a lot of things.
They're going to score 35 tonight and lose.
But I'd argue, well, we'll see about that. But I'd argue, my favorite bet tonight was the over. But anyway, I'd argue that what he did in training camp, I don't know if you can quantify if that helped or hurt. That might have hurt. That might have been part of what set the Bengals on their path. So I know that's really hard to sort of say, but there's that. And now Debo, who has had an off year, he has gotten into a fight with a long snapper. He has started a podcast where he said we've been the best team for 5 years in this league, even though you haven't won a Super Bowl. And now, after your best offensive performance of the year, he goes to Twitter and writes, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball.
Interesting about that, because I'm looking at targets, and George Kittle has 67 targets. Debo Samuel has 64. So you have three fewer targets than Kittle. Three fewer, and yet you're not getting the ball. George Kittle, as I mentioned, 8 touchdowns. Debo Samuel, 1. Kittle's got 800 yards. Debo's got 553.
There you go.
So, I mean, you're getting thrown to as much. You're not doing as much with it. And you're not finding the end zone.
Right, and it's not downfield because he's not running routes like some of the other guys are or what have you. I don't even want to take a shot at Debo. I don't think he's lost a step. I just think right now, temporarily, he's lost his mind. He's letting the frustrations, this has now shown up 2, 3, 4 times this year, he's letting the frustrations get to him in ways that it's not getting to other players. And if you're going to be a boombox boy, well, that's not good. That's not good. Again, this is not a big deal, but I love it, especially when a team is struggling, to ask yourself this question after every action, every public action: how did it help? How did it help? So if Debo asked himself that question right now, you went to Twitter and wrote, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball, shruggy emoji, how did that help? And who did it help? Might have helped you.
Probably helped him, exactly.
Got something off your chest.
Yep.
So you feel a little bit cooler now. How did it help your team? How did it help any discourse around your team? None. Yeah. It doesn't. And it might have made Shanahan or Purdy or Juwan or anyone else, the offensive line, it might make them all feel a certain way. Which that's not what you want to do. Well, that's not what you want to do.
When is the Up and Adams podcast? Is that tomorrow?
I don't know. She's doing those all the time.
What? Because she and Debo don't. I thought they normally had like a.
I think that was last year. He's been on some, but I don't. It's not as regular.
Okay.
She does it with, you know, like, yeah. I mean, Devontae did it for a while. Like, a lot of guys are going on there on the regular.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to appear on that thing anytime soon. But anyway, plenty of time for you to still weigh in. 888-957-9570. That is the number. Glad you're with us. Always fun at 5:45 on the way out the door. So what if we even just played with it? Who's the biggest diva wide receiver in the NFL? 888-957-9570. Give us a call. You got to name one person. Biggest diva wide receiver in the NFL. We're sponsored by Safeway, and it's Willard and Dibbs.
Will and Divvy.
On 95.7 The Game.
Who you got? Biggest diva wide receiver in the game. Who you got?
Man.
Who you got?
It's hard to say. I don't think that there are a lot of divas.
You don't? I mean,
well, they're all divas. Like, what makes a diva? Somebody who complains about not getting the ball?
Yeah, I mean, just like make it a little bit too much about you in the team concept.
Yeah.
Can I give you candidates?
Sure.
Candidates. Stephon Diggs. Out of sight, out of mind, I know right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Stephon Diggs. Tyreek Hill. A.J. Brown. Look, he's been the point of this conversation today. So, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah. I thought of one, but keep going.
I'll throw in DK Metcalf.
There it is. There it is.
DJ Moore has had a year that has frustrated a lot of people in Chicago.
It's a sleeper. That's a good one.
Well, and he's on my fantasy team, and I mean,
your fantasy team no longer exists, but anyway.
Consolation round.
Is there?
Always.
Do we have a consolation round?
I'm in it every year.
Lucas?
I mean, sure.
There's nothing for it.
I think you're playing games that aren't actually happening.
Let's go, Grandy.
What does the consolation bracket winner get?
It's a pat on the butt. George Pickens. Absolutely need to put George Pickens in there. I guess Jamar Chase needs to be on the list. Calvin Ridley was suspended a couple of years ago, and this year was chirpy. I know Guru wants us to put Devontae Adams on there. He did not like the Netflix performance of Devontae Adams. Those are probably my candidates. One more. Malik Nabers. He's only been in the league for 13 games, but just because he's already had post-game interviews, I don't know why they're not targeting me. Right. Ask the coach. Like, dude, chill. That's my list. It's a long one.
It's a good list.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's more you could throw in there, but as you were going through it, the one that stuck out to me was DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. Lucas, what did you want to say?
I was going to throw Amari Cooper on the list, too.
What did Amari do?
He's asked out a couple different times from Cleveland. But I think I agree with Devontae Adams, and I think George Pickens is a little bit of a sleeper one because on the field, he gets frustrated and gets penalized pretty often with some unsportsmanlike conduct stuff. So he's not, and that's the thing about diva receivers. They're not good at hiding their emotions.
No, he's a moper.
Yeah.
He's a moper. Even when things are going well, he's a moper. I'm not even saying he didn't have he has played his entire career until Russell Wilson started playing. He's played his whole career with no quarterback. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
So is DJ Moore.
Yeah, but you got to handle that sucker, man. You got to handle that now.
You got to handle it.
You got to do that now.
You're a wide receiver with no quarterback. That can be pretty frustrating.
Yes, but you know what? Welcome to life in the big old world. Got to handle that without,
And Malik Nabers is number two in targets, so what are you crying about?
Ask him.
Exactly. And talk about not having a quarterback.
I have a hard time right now not putting my vote on A.J. Brown. Just because you're in the middle of a 9-game win streak. We're now public that you're beefing with your quarterback. I understand that Jalen Hurts is not the best QB in the NFL, but he's far from the worst. Holy hell. Right? You could be a lot worse off than 11-2 and playing with Jalen Hurts.
Right.
As a wide receiver in this league.
But as a wide receiver, you'd love to be in an offense where you actually throw the ball, and Philly doesn't throw it very often because they don't have to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure AJ was aware that he was being traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. He needed to agree to an extension, and he did. So you didn't have to do that.
Right, but
you did.
Because the money's nice.
Yeah.
And the team is good.
Yeah.
But that is a little bit diva-ish.
Oh, you know who we left off? We left off one who just this last week absolutely has to be thrown on there, but no one's thinking about it because he's barely playing. That's kind of the point. Diontae Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Acquired by the Baltimore Ravens and asked out of the game when he was told to go in. Got suspended for a week, then did an interview where he's almost flirting with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a potential free agent from inside the Ravens visiting locker room in Pittsburgh. That's some diva stuff right there.
You guys brought up Malik Nabers.
Yes.
I give him a pass because of the situation with the Giants. Did you hear what happened this weekend after the game yesterday?
No.
So there was a fan or someone that was flying a plane with a banner off the back
of it. I heard about that.
And it said, "Mr. Mara, enough. Please fix this dumpster fire." And Malik Nabers, along with other Giants, were asked about it postgame. And the only thing Malik Nabers said about it was, quote, "I didn't pay for the plane. I ain't got nothing to say." And then he turned around.
Nice.
Yeah, so in other words, I have no problem with you calling my team a dumpster fire.
Yeah, which is what it is.
It is.
Yep.
It is, but like saying what it is publicly is not always the best practice. It's not always the best practice. Hey, can I throw this at you? This is completely off the subject, but I'll throw it at you on the way out the door. Because we love Susan Slusser.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see this tweet?
No.
About Willie Adames?
No.
And does this fire you up? Listen to this now. "I've covered baseball for 30-plus years, and I've heard raves about a lot of players teams acquired, but nothing like what I've heard the last 2 days about Willie Adames. Everyone loves this guy to the extreme. Leader, winner, outstanding attitude, work ethic, all that and more."
Wow.
End tweet.
And what, 31 homers last year?
31 homers.
112 runs batted in.
Yep. And shortstop for crying out loud.
And he played 161 games. So between he and Chapman, who's going to miss a game first?
Oof.
Because they both, like Chapman played what, like 157 or something last year?
Correct.
He played almost every game. So, and this is what Giants fans have been clamoring for, Mark, for so long. Give me a lineup that I know I can count on. A third baseman, a shortstop, they're going to be in there every single day. A center fielder, when he's healthy this year, he'll be in there. Elliot Ramos will be in there every day. Your first base platoon, fine. Second base, you can pick and pop a little bit, but that'll be Fitzgerald for the most part.
Yeah, Buster said some things today about a lot of upside at second base for Tyler Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
I think Bailey
in the squat for two-thirds of the year.
You could start talking about Flores and Wade and stuff like this. But I think the question marks right now are essentially first base and DH and then just depth. You know what I mean? Like if in theory Yaz is your starting right fielder, Jung-Hoo in center, Ramos in left, but there's a DH to think about and outfield depth, maybe Ramos is the DH and you put someone else, McCray, maybe he makes the team.
What about Matos? Is he falling out of favor for you?
Not falling out of favor, but I mean, he hasn't done enough to warrant conversation about a starting role right now.
Okay.
Today, I'd be more comfortable with Yaz.
Yeah.
Phenomenal on defense and steady Eddie enough. Like not
just a threat of power.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to hit 220, but he'll hit 20 bombs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So first base and DH, and obviously they're going to go get another starting pitcher. But yeah, you go jump onto the baseball reference page of Willie Adames, and you get a little tingly inside.
Definitely.
You get a little tingly. Last 3 years, games played 161, 149, 139.
Pretty good.
That's pretty damn good. OPS those 3 years, 794, 717, 756.
Solid.
Home runs, 32, 24, 31.
Yeah.
RBIs, 112, 80, 98. Batting average, there was a down year of 217 a couple years ago. 251, 217, 238. But he still has a plus OPS. Walks a lot. He's twice registered in the MVP vote. It's a shortstop.
Yeah.
And he has not had his 30th birthday.
And he got a 5-year deal?
Seven-year
deal.
Buck 82, bro.
Oh, boy. That's
Buck 82, brother.
When you think about the years that they've invested, Jung-Hoo Lee and Chappie.
And now Adames. Yep.
I mean, these are real anchor pieces for a team.
Right. And then you have long-term control over your young guys, Bailey Fitzgerald Ramos. And, Yaz just signed a new...
And hopefully a phenom coming at first base in the next year or
Bryce
two.
Bryce Eldridge, right.
Starting to take some shape.
Damn right.
Exciting.
That didn't take long.
Only 7 years.
Yeah. I'm still ticketed for third place, but whatever.
Doesn't matter. Well, at least now you can tune into a game and you can
kind of know
who the players are.
Yes, yes. And that was definitely a stated thing for Buster. And just Buster's presence already is like, it's just, again, it's comforting. And this is where I'll put my flag in the ground right now. The Adamas thing, which I didn't think they'd be able to get him. I really thought they'd end up with Ha-Sung Kim. And they go with Adamas, who is a more powerful player and also healthier player. Ha-Sung Kim may not be ready for the start of the year. So they go with that. There's so many messages that happen right out of the gate. You know, a month ago, Andy Bagley's writing an article about how the Giants are slashing payroll. Then Buster Posey walks in and goes, no, we're signing the largest deal in the history of the organization on day one of the winter meeting.
Nice.
Like, that's the way you get fans comfortable. And so I have the utmost confidence that they're going to get one of the starters they want as well.
Let's do it.
Want to do it again tomorrow?
Maybe.
Yeah,
I'm a game time decision.
Let's see. Trent Williams, questionable. Nick Bosa, questionable. Dan Dibley, questionable. But what's not questionable is Grandy and Kyle Madsen with the Football Hour, which is coming up next. And it is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking. Can't wait to listen to that after the Niners win over the Bears. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.